The song which our organist was playing for the offertory is entitled Only Believe. It seems so simple, it is so clear, and yet it is the most difficult thing in the world for a natural man to understand. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon the serpent, shall live." When he looketh upon the serpent, he shall live. Now there can be no better gospel message or gospel lesson for our religious day than the one before us. And this is a religious day. But there can be no clearer gospel message for you this morning than the one that I have chosen. For when our Lord was talking to Nicodemus, a religious leader in his day, when our Lord sought to illustrate salvation to Nicodemus, this is the message which he chose himself. This is the illustration, this is the type which our Lord chose to illustrate salvation to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Now you can listen to this message this morning as if you were listening to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For when this man Nicodemus came to him by night, this religious man, this man steeped in the law, steeped in religion, seeking a way to eternal life, our Lord selected the message or the scripture which I have selected for my text today and preached to Nicodemus the way of salvation. Now let's turn to Numbers 21 and look first of all at verse 4 and 5. When our Lord defined the gospel of salvation, this is the type which he chose. This is the illustration which he selected from the entire Old Testament to illustrate salvation to Nicodemus. First of all, the people had rebelled against God. In verse 4, it says, in the latter part, they were discouraged because of the way. The people were discouraged because of the way. It was God's way. God chose it for them. God chose it for them in wisdom and in mercy. But they murmured against it. They quarreled with God's way. Why? Because they wanted their own way. That's the reason. They grumbled and complained about God's way because they wanted their way. And not only did they complain and grumble about the way, but the next verse says, they spake against God. Our souls hate this bread that you've given us. God had given them manna from heaven. We hate this bread. They complained about the bread God had given them. They complained about the water that God had given them. God had instructed Moses to speak to the rock, and the rock would yield forth water. And they complained about the water. And then they not only spake against God and against his supplies of food and water, but they began to speak against God's servant. It says they spake against God and they spake against Moses. His leadership was despised. His leadership was rejected. The people spake against the way of God. They spake against the supplies of God. They spake against the servants of God. And this is the history of our race from the Garden of Eden to this day. Our Lord said, they cried, we will not have this man reign over us. We will not bow to his scepter. We will not surrender to his rule. We will not bow to His sovereignty. We will not have Him reign over us. That was the cry from the Garden of Eden to the Tower of Babel to the cross of Calvary to this day. Rebellion. And God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone not to God's way but to his own way. And there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the first thing we see in this illustration of salvation is the people rebelled. The people complained. The people murmured. They complained about God's way. They complained about God's blessings, and they complained about God's servants. And they were discouraged. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And much people of Israel died because of their rebellion. Because of their sin, God sent a curse among the people. A curse of fiery serpents. They bit the people and the people died. The bite of the serpent was fatal. There was no doubt about this. Because they buried their friends and they buried their loved ones and they watched people die and they knew why they died. The people had murmured, they had complained. God sent fiery serpents among them and they began to die and everybody knew why they died. They died because they had rebelled against God. There was no doubt about it. Because they said in verse 7, we have sinned. That's the reason that the plague is here. That's the reason the curse is upon us. That's the reason the people are dying, because we have sinned. We're not left to doubt concerning the consequence or the cause of the sin, of the bite of the fiery serpent. It's because we have sinned. The Word of God declares the wages of sin is death. The Word of God declares the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The Word of God declares sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is why we die. We see sin's results all about us. Old age, hospitals, asylums, jails, courts, war, hate, cemeteries, all of these things are the results of man's rebellion against God, man's sin against God. And not only do we see the results of sin about us, but God's Word tells of the eternal consequences that await us. If you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Israel rebelled. And God sent the fiery serpents, and they bit the people, and they began to die. Man rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. Man sinned against God. Man murmured against God. And death came upon the whole human race. And the people died. And we see the results of that fall and the results of that sin. Not only in our bodies, but in our environment and all about us. And God warns us of the eternal consequences of our sin. You die in your sins. You cannot come where I am. Charles Spurgeon said in 1852, there was a man who was keeper of the zoo, whose name was Gerling. He'd been with the zoo for a number of years. He fed the animals. He took care of them. He fed all of the birds, the monkeys. He was in charge of the whole zoo. He was always fascinated by the cage where the snakes were kept. They had rattlesnakes and cobras, and they had coral snakes from Africa. And this man was always fascinated. He'd stand around this cage where they kept the snakes, but he was always afraid of them. And one day he and a friend were having a drink together. And Gerling drank too much and became drunk. And the first thing that he did was tell his friend he was going down to the snake cave. And the friend warned him not to, but he went down anyway, and the friend followed him. And instead of standing outside, as he always did, he got the key and opened the gate and went inside. And the first thing he did was, it was cold weather, Spurgeon said, the first thing he did was pick up one of the coral snakes and began to twirl it around his head. And the snake evidently was, because of the cold, not alert and not as alive as it usually was, and it didn't bite him. He laid down the coral snake and reached over and picked up another one. And he curled the snake around his arm and around his neck, and then he laid it on the ground, and it didn't bother. But then he went over and picked up the cobra. And he wrapped the cobra around his neck and then held the cobra out in front of him. And the cobra began to revive from the cold a little bit and began to sort of wake up. And the cobra, as the man Gerling held it in his hand, poised a minute right in front of his face. And then suddenly it struck him right between the eyes, right on the bridge of his nose. And it knocked him down. He took the snake off his neck and ran out and locked the door. And then he ran down to the little shed where they'd been drinking, suddenly sobered. And he sat down in a chair. And his friend ran and got help. And when help got there, he said there was only a small mark on the bridge of his nose. And first his speech went, and he wasn't able to talk. He could only point to his throat and moan. And then his vision began to fail. He couldn't see. And then in a moment his hearing was gone. And in less than an hour he was dead, because the poison had spread through his whole body. When man took the cobra of sin in the Garden of Eden and it struck him, the poison of sin and evil spread through his whole body, and his speech, when he spoke with God and honored and glorified God, was taken from him. And in his vision, when he saw the things of the Lord in the Garden of Eden, enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord, and looked beyond the material things about him, that left him. And then his hearing, when he was able to hear the voice of God and understand and communicate with God, that left him. And then he died. The poison of sin and rebellion had spread through his whole being, from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, Isaiah said, no soundness in him anywhere. Bitten by the serpent of sin. And that's what happened to Israel here. They rebelled, they sinned, and they were bitten by the serpent of sin, and they died. And they died. But verse 8 says, God provided a remedy. God provided a remedy. And our Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus about this remedy. Israel couldn't produce a remedy. And even so, man can produce no cure for the sin and evil that is in our veins, pumped from our hearts, received from our fathers. God said, first of all, Moses, make a fiery serpent. In other words, make a serpent in the likeness of the one that has bitten the people. Now, listen carefully to me. This is important. Make a serpent in the likeness of the one that has bitten the people. The fiery serpents have bitten the people. Now, you make a serpent out of brass exactly like those that have bitten the people. You say, why is that important? Now, watch this. Jesus Christ, our perfect Lord, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why did he become a man? The same reason that Moses made a serpent like the one that had bitten the people. Christ took on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He took not only himself the nature of angels, but the nature of the seed of Abraham. He became a man. Man rebelled. Christ became a man. Man sinned. Christ became a man. By man came death. By man came sin. By man came eternal separation from God. By man came all of these consequences of rebellion. So Christ became a man. Now this serpent of brass that was made in the likeness of the fiery serpents, this serpent of brass which Moses made had no venom. It had no bite of death. It had no strength of evil. And it could not kill, this serpent that Moses made. Even so, the Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. He had no evil. He came not to condemn the world. The brass serpent was made not to condemn but to save in the likeness of the fiery serpent. Now watch this. And God said, Moses, make a fiery serpent like unto the one that has bitten the people, and impale it upon a pole and lift it up. The brass serpent was a serpent impaled upon a pole, as if it had been driven through the head and lifted up to die. When we were boys, occasionally we'd find a snake, and we took great pleasure in killing snakes and then sharpening a stick and drive the stick through the snake and stick it up in the air, you know, and watch it wiggle to death. And after a while, it'd be dead. And Moses made this brass serpent, and then he impaled it on a pole, and he lifted it up in the air, in the midst of the camp. Here was a serpent just like the one that had bitten the people, just like the one that brought death, impaled on a pole and lifted up high, as if a serpent had been driven through the head and lifted up to die. Now, Christ Jesus, our Lord, was impaled on a pole. He was nailed to a cross. The nails were driven through his hands and through his feet, and he was lifted up to die. God was saying in the wilderness, here, as that serpent was impaled on that pole, the bite of the serpent is destroyed. The strength of the serpent is slain. The power of the serpent is completely destroyed. Here it is. It's all over. The curse is over. Christ was nailed to a cross. And in him lifted up, we see sin and death and hell slain in Christ. As the Israelites saw the dead snake lifted up, we see our dead flesh in Christ lifted up. Here is the flesh, the cause of sin. Here is the flesh, the cause of separation. Here is the flesh, the cause of all agony and damnation and condemnation. Here it is. Here it is destroyed. Here it is lifted up. I'm crucified with Christ. Lifted up in the air. And Moses said, all right, now listen to this. Our Lord selected this himself. Here was a religious man that came to him and wanted to talk to him about eternity and eternal matters. And Christ said, now, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and Nicodemus knew the story. He was familiar with it. It was in the Word of God. He was a student of the Scripture. As Moses lifted up that serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what happened back there? The people rebelled. God sent the fiery serpent. They bit the people. They died. They died. They buried them. And the people said, we've sinned. And God said, and Moses, take a serpent just like the one that's bitten the people and drive it through with a pole and lifted up in the air. Now then, whosoever shall look on that serpent shall be healed. Shall be healed. These people were bitten and dying, and Moses stood there and said, "You want to live? Look to the brazen serpent." Now, the common notion is that salvation is for good people. That salvation is for those who fight against temptation and win the battle. Salvation, eternal life, a home in heaven, is for people who are examples and moral specimens. Good folks. That's who salvation's for. But how different is the Word of God? God's remedy is always for the sick. God's remedy is always for the sinner. God's remedy is always for the dying. God's remedy is always for the disease. The grace of God in Christ is for the guilty, for the man who can't help himself. That's who mercy's for. I never did have much use for sham sinners. People who never did and never do anything wrong. You go on to your works and seek salvation therein. You turn to your own fig leaves and see if they'll cover. We leave you. But we're sent of God as Moses was sent of God in that day to preach the gospel of salvation for those who are sick and those who are diseased. And those who are dying, and those who are lost, and those who are full of sin. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, everyone that is bitten, everyone that is afflicted, everyone that is dying, every invitation our Lord gave had a condition. Oh, everyone that thirsted, come to the water. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Every invitation, and that's what Moses, what God said to Moses here, make a fiery serpent in the likeness of the one that has bitten the people. Lift it up on a pole and go out there and tell everyone that is bitten, helpless, sick, diseased, dying. You tell them to look and live. There was but one Savior. There was but one remedy. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." There's just one remedy. O Lord, faint my head and sick my heart. I'm wounded, I'm bruised in every part. Satan's fiery sting I feel. I'm poisoned with the pride of hell. But if at this point to die, upward I direct my eye, Jesus lifted up I see, then I'll live by Him who died for me. The remedy was sufficient. Look at verse 9. Moses made that serpent of brass, and he put it on the pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when that man beheld the serpent, what happened? He lived. He lived. Now, the serpent of brass wasn't carried into the house. If the spot where the man had been bitten wasn't rubbed with holy water, there was no mumbo-jumbo ceremony. There was no form or prayer to be repeated, it says, and it came to pass that if a man looked, he lived. It's so difficult, as I said at the beginning of this message, only believe. Only believe. Surely, preacher, there's something else to do. I just imagine some of those Israelites said that to Moses. You mean to tell me, Moses, here I am bitten by the serpent, here I am in a state of decay and death. Here I am about to perish. My friends have perished about me. And you mean to tell me all I've got to do is look at a brazen serpent on a pole? God will heal me. You mean to tell me that's all? Well, that's what God said. Now, man says differently. I realize that, but this is what God says. God says, by grace are you saved. Man said, no, something else needed. Something else besides grace. You got to do this and you got to do that. God says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Man says, no, got to be something else. You got to be baptized. Got to join our church. You got to give up this, give up that, and give up the other. God says there's one mediator between God and men. And man says, no. Got to have an earthly priest. Got to have a church. Got to have Mary. Got to have the beads. Got to have the crucifix. Got to have something else. One mediator is not enough. God says the death of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Man says, no. It takes deeds. It takes works. It takes sacrifices. It takes sacraments. It takes law. It takes this, that, and the other. God says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Man says, no. No, maybe after he suffers in purgatory a little while, there'll be no condemnation, but first he's got to go to purgatory. It came to pass that everyone that looked lived. That was it. Everyone that looked lived. But my friends, it was a personal look. A man could not be cured by anything anyone else did for him. Look carefully at this commandment of God now. God said, Moses, make a fiery serpent. Now that's already happened. Christ has already come down here in the flesh. He said that He came down here, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the fiery serpent's been made. The people were bitten, they were dying. Moses, make a fiery serpent. Moses made the serpent of brass. Now Moses, impale that serpent on a pole. And Moses drove that stick into that brazen serpent. And he lifted it up in the air. That's been done. The Lord Jesus Christ has come down here in the flesh, and he's been nailed to a cross. Everybody knows that. Christ was nailed to that cross on Golgotha's mountain and raised between two thieves to die. Right? All right. Now then, everyone that is bitten, if he'll make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, then he'll be saved. No. But if he'll come down and join the church and promise that he'll never do anything else wrong, he'll be saved. If he'll read the law and study the law and make up his mind he's going to keep the law, he'll be saved. Well, if he'll find out which is the right church, you know, that came down from John the Baptist and has the right baptism and the right closed communion and all this other mumbo-jumbo, he gets in the right church and they look around, they pass their approval upon him, then he'll be saved. He said, Moses, everyone that is bitten, when he looks, he lives. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ said himself, words out of his own mouth, that whosoever believes has eternal life. That's the Bible. Now you can take your Catholic way and your Baptist way and your Carmelite way and your Presbyterian way and your Jehovah Witness way, and you can take it to hell as far as I'm concerned. This is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. Now I know Moses had some rebellion. I'm sure he had a lot of people that questioned his simple message, his direct message. His message of justification by faith, not by works. Because there's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to death. God says, your ways aren't my ways. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everybody to his own way. We've deserted God's way. You go and look for your way to healing, your way to life, your way to restoration, your way to salvation. This is God's way. The Master said it himself. As Moses lifted up that serpent for a bitten people, for a dying people, as he lifted it up and he said, look. And they looked. And Jesus Christ said they live. And they live by looking. They didn't live by working. They live by looking. They didn't live by giving. They live by looking. But I'll tell you this, they had to look for themselves. You've got to look for yourself. You've got to believe on Christ for yourself. I can't do it for you. A pious mother might pray and plead for that old boy lying in his tent with a serpent bite. And kind friends might entreat him and beg him and intercede for him. And faithful ministers might come in there and instruct him. But he's got to look. He has to look. People come to me and they say, Brother Man, pray for me. Okay, I will. But you still got to believe. You still got to believe. That old boy lying in the tent there, the serpent has bitten him. He's dying. I'll go in there and pray for him and plead with him and instruct him. There's a serpent on a pole. Well, pray for me. You better get up, man, and look what you better do. Quit talking about somebody praying for you. You better look. You've got to look. There is not in heaven, there is not beneath heaven, there is not in this earth any cure for your sin except Christ. And if you don't believe on Christ, you perish. That's the way it is. Turn to Mark 15. Mark 15, listen to it, verse 16. Mark 15, 16, listen to it. And our Lord said to his disciples, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Huh? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. It's the gospel of the brazen serpent on a pole, lifted up to die. Now, read the next verse. You go preach this gospel. And he that's in the right church, and he that is baptized, and he that is joins a church, and he that works his way out, and he that prays through, and he that goes down to the mourner's bench, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. There it is. That's about the size of it. That's about the size of it. You must look if you live. Now let me come down and ask you this. Have you been made aware, like Israel, of the fatal bite of the fiery serpent? Have you been made aware of your sins? Do you feel its venom within you, within your thoughts and within your heart and within your mind and within your soul? Do you feel sin's guilt? Do you feel sin's fatal bite? Do you feel separation from God? Do you feel guilt? Do you feel helpless to do anything about it? Can you put away your transgressions? Can you wipe your record and glory clean on the books of heaven? Can you make yourself hate sin and love holiness? Can you do that? No, sir. Can you get into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, and make an atonement for your sin? No, sir. Well, Christ can. And our Lord said, Christ has been lifted up. Christ has been crucified on a cross. Now then, what am I to do? Moses, what are we going to do? We're bitten. We're dying. What are we going to do? Moses said, look and live. And I say unto you, my friend, Christ has been lifted up on the cross. Christ has suffered the just for the unjust, the guiltless for the guilty. the sinless for the sinful. Now you look and you live. You believe and you live. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our Father in heaven, the guilty, bitten, dying, sinful men, reveal the way of life, the way of salvation. It's not in the deeds of the law. It's not in the works of the flesh. It's in Christ. Christ crucified. Christ lifted up. Christ suffering, the sinless for the sinful, that He might bring us to Thee. Grant, O Lord, unto us, by the power of Thy Spirit, faith to believe, faith to receive, faith to trust, faith to look to Christ alone and live by Him. Lay it upon the heart of someone in this congregation to look and live. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I give. It's recorded in His Word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. In the name of Thy Lord and Thy Son, we pray. Amen.